College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. Now here's your host, Kevin Nagandi.
Well, the traveling man is back. Waco to Athens to Bristol to New York City to Columbus in 6 days. David Pollock back with us here on the College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. So do you like to travel, DP?
No. I mean, who does? I think, listen, I don't like to come home and put my kids to bed, and that's the only time I see them is when I put them to bed and then leave again. So not a huge fan of all the travel. But, man, it's this time of year, baby. It is closing time, and everybody's excited. The rankings are getting closer and closer. The championship games are getting closer and closer. And so there's more talk about and more substance, which is a lot of fun. But you sound – the voice is weak, Godfather. The voice is weak.
I may go Barry White. I may just cough in the middle of this podcast. I'm the last man standing in my house. It's gone through
everybody,
kids and my wife. Yep. And I was standing tall, guys. I was standing tall. And it eventually got to me. So I'm sucking down on a bunch of honey and cough drops and tea. But we've got a podcast to tape, and it's 100% worth it because we missed you on Wednesday. And when we missed you on Wednesday, we still made sure to carry your spirit because we had Reese on the last podcast, Reese Davis.
And it's an upgrade.
He called you the little brother he never wished for. And I think he nailed it right there.
I like that. Reese is, he's one of the best human beings I've ever met. He's my best friend on the road for sure. I get to spend a ton of time with him and an Alabama boy that treats everybody with respect, and I've never seen him lose his cool one time, by the way. Like, literally, In all my years working with him, never seen him get upset at somebody or treat anybody disrespectfully. He's a southern gentleman through and through.
He's the best, and, I didn't share this with him, but I look up to the guy. There's a lot of anchors that, you as a player, I'm sure you modeled yourself after somebody. I'm one of those guys that I came into ESPN at 2006, and Reese was already here for 11 years, and he was a guy that I was like, that's the man I want to model my career after. So it was great having him on the podcast.
Well, you're doing a horrible job of it, so keep it up.
I'm doing a terrible job carrying his shadow here. But, we got him into the conversation about the dad bod comment that you made. And he wanted to make sure everybody knew that you did not guilt him into changing his diet. It just happened that way.
You can say that all you want. Reese can come on here and say whatever he wants. He has the right to, but there's been a big change, and the eating habits have shifted, and he's not by far, psychotic, but they've shifted, and it's definitely in a better direction. So he can give credit to whoever he wants. I'm just glad he did it. I don't care. But the dad bod was out in full effect, and it was not a good look. So I'm glad it's changed.
You're Mr. Guilt Trip with everybody on the game day crew, according to Reese, when it comes
not
to
not guilt trip. I try to help people. I don't do it in a malicious manner, but you just got to realize sometimes when we're just sitting there stuffing our face aimlessly, we do that a lot. I mean, we just sit there and do it and do it and do it. I'm like, well, what are we doing here? Like, let's put those away, please. All right.
It's sitting there, man. It's the temptation of staring at the table of all the snacks. That's what happens.
I know.
Right.
Well, you should have seen the table, Kevin, when I got there. When I got there, I don't even know what year, I guess 8 or 9 years ago for college game day, and I started, it was nothing but sweets and chips and just straight trash. I mean, it was, I literally told him, I was like, do we have anything remotely healthy? And now it's really evolved, and the candy's gone and the trash is gone, and it's baked chips, and there's coffee up there, but there's fruit up there every single meal. It's, we have egg whites in the mornings on Saturdays. Like, it's definitely a upgraded menu. We've done a much better job of taking care of ourselves.
So you guilt tripped everybody. That's what you did. You guilt tripped all the coordinators, the production coordinators that bring in the food.
I've made them think about how important it is of what you put in your body. That's what I've done.
And let's talk about the game day experience, at least the last one in Waco. You were next to Pat McAfee. Did you know he was about to dive into the shallow water?
Yes, I did.
What did you tell him? Did you warn him?
To
did
America.
You talk to him? Like, how did this all play out?
First of all, I don't think Pat really cares about much. So I don't think it matters. No, but he knew what was going on. We knew what was going on. We had it, obviously, we had talked about it. So it was a crazy moment, and he sold it full belly flop. It was amazing.
At what point did you pull him to the side and say, yo, bro, you know, just be careful, or just, you were like, go ahead, do it, man. Be a knucklehead.
No, go ahead and do it. That's Pat's role. That's who he is, man. Pat is a free spirit, and he will do anything, I think, at any time. And you can see he's an absolute whack job. It's awesome. It's awesome. His personality is awesome. So I don't think, if Pat's going to do something, I don't think there's anybody that's going to talk him out of it.
It's great. And no one understands a crowd better, right?
He's good at it.
He gives you guys a lot of wow moments. I also want to remind everybody here, if you have a question you want to hear on the podcast for Herbie or Pollock, tweet using the hashtag CFBpod. We've got a couple questions coming your way. Scenarios, which I'm kind of interested in some scenarios that you forecast down the road. Before we get to that, though, did the committee get it right on Tuesday night?
And I'm going to give you the same response I give you every week. Sure. It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't matter. I like what Rob Mullins said. He said he kept Alabama at five because they dominated the game. They looked really good. I think it'll be interesting monitoring going forward. If they feel the same way now with a change of quarterback, because now it's official. Remember, it's a week by week thing, and Tua played last week and dominated. And so it kind of put Alabama in that spot. Alabama's the only one really, when you look at the top seven teams, that you go, there's not anything they can do to really wow you. Oregon and Utah, 6 or 7, are going to play each other and have a huge opportunity to win a conference championship. Alabama does not. Georgia's going to play LSU with a huge chance to win a conference championship. Ohio State's going to probably play. They're going to play Penn State this week, and they're going to play probably in the Big Ten championship game. Opportunities. Everybody has huge opportunities in front of them except Alabama. So, you know, they're at 5 right now, but it doesn't feel like it's a stable situation for them. It doesn't feel like it's just if Georgia loses in the SEC championship game, you just slide Bama up. I don't think, if you think that way, I don't think it's correct.
You're the type of guy, and I could be wrong making this assumption, that you look at, hey, whatever plays out on the field, that's how I determine things. I don't do the metrics. I don't do, hey, the roster, or look at how much talent is there. And I bring that up because the head-to-head conversation where you see Penn State 2 spots ahead of Minnesota after Minnesota, you know, a week and a half earlier beat them. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely, I'm okay with that. I have no problem with that. I also look at what Penn State's also accomplished throughout their season. Penn State also, by the way, beat that Iowa team that just beat Minnesota. So I think that has to come into a play, but I'm also a guy that was at the Michigan-Penn State game and saw Penn State beat a good Michigan team. And okay, if Minnesota played Michigan, you know, before the season ended, would they lose? Possibly. I would probably favor Michigan at this point with the way they're playing football. So I don't think you can just say they beat them, they should be ahead of them. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. Again, you're absolutely right. I'm not a stats guy. I can't stand FPI and rankings of player rankings and stuff and all this stuff we do that I just try my hardest to bite my tongue or don't bite my tongue because I really don't care that much. But I think I have no problem with Penn State being ranked above Minnesota. I think it was a competitive game. It's a game that Minnesota was you know, probably the biggest game of in 100 years at their school, for goodness sakes, at their place, at home, played really well. Penn State still had a chance in the end to come back at the end of the game and win the ball game. So I don't look at Minnesota and go, they're way better than Penn State.
Okay, when you look at the rankings, the top 7 did not change. Let's nope. Play a scenario out. Coming from one of our listeners, Kane Lindsay, who said, would a Georgia win in the SEC championship over LSU see both the Dogs and the Tigers into the Final Four?
It's hard to predict what else has happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, if Ohio State beats Penn State, beats Michigan, and then, guess what? If they're playing Minnesota in the championship game and Minnesota beats them and now has a head to head and a conference championship, Ohio State, I think, would be out in that scenario. And I think Minnesota would be in. Georgia obviously would be in. But if you look at LSU, they're obviously with their body of work at the top, but I think it's going to determine what Ohio State does the rest of the way, because Ohio State's a team that they remember, Kevin, when the initial rankings came out, Ohio State was above LSU, even with what LSU had accomplished, even with big time wins. Now let's look at Penn State, or let's look at Ohio State. They have a Penn State game. They have a Michigan game. They also have a Big Ten championship game down the road. So a lot of meat on their schedule to prove how high they should climb. If they lost a really close game to Penn State or a really close game to Michigan, but still went to the Big Ten championship game and wiped out Minnesota, I think Ohio State would be in that scenario. So I think there's other things to account for. But LSU is in an interesting spot because and if Ohio State, if both those teams stay undefeated, Kevin, won't it be interesting going into the SEC championship game and saying, this game might not matter?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. Like LSU, this game might not matter. It might, if they lose this game, they could still get in, which is crazy to think about with college football and us talking so much about every game mattering.
Yeah. And you know who's ticked off? Teams like, Oregon, Utah, that can, you know, even though if they win their Pac-12 championship, they can't say anything, because then when you look at LSU's schedule and who they've beaten top, you know, they got four wins against teams in the top 20. And that they could boast about, depending on where Texas is each and every single week as well.
Hey, who has the most wins over ranked opponents in the top 25?
I would assume that's LSU. I mean,
I would wonder how long. I want you to guess again. I would wonder how long it would take you, because it blew me away. I was way wrong, by the way. Just to be clear. Okay.
Look at this.
Most games. Who's played the most games against top 25 teams?
Well, no, that's different from who has the most wins.
Okay, well, who's played the most games against top 25 teams in the rankings?
It feels like that's an Auburn answer, right? Like
Auburn's second. Oof. Auburn's played four.
Is it A&M?
Nope. A&M's lost to three good teams, hadn't they? With two more to come, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Iowa, by the way.
Iowa has
played five teams in the top 25.
Okay, let's see this.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And then Iowa State's played four, and Michigan's played four. But it's
okay,
just crazy.
So that means it's Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And Iowa State.
Yep. Five teams in the top 25. That's crazy,
a fascinating stat, man. Look at you pulling out the stats.
Well, it's just crazy. It's crazy because you start – you say and I say, we both do the same thing. We all do it across the country. And, man, LSU's win against Texas was really awesome. It was a really big win. They did go to their place, and you deserve credit. But what is – you know, Texas kind of turned out to be. You know, Texas has kind of struggled, and it's not a really good football team. So – but they were ranked top 10. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we all point to all these rankings, and I just thought that was a – very interesting thing when I heard it on Get Up the other morning. Just crazy stat that I would have never guessed in a million years.
Okay, so then, I brought up Oregon. I brought up Utah, the winner of that, the Pac-12. And if they have just one loss and they're sitting on the outside and they see LSU drop from 1-4, if they were to hypothetically lose a close one to Georgia in the SEC championship game, where does that leave Oklahoma in your mind, especially after what you witnessed in Waco over the weekend?
I don't see any way, shape, or form how Oklahoma even gets back in this race. I
mean, no matter what.
No, I mean, listen, okay, if Oregon and Utah both lose, or if one of those teams lose before that point, and then beats the other one and has one is a champion, obviously, but they both have two losses. So both Oregon and Utah would both have two losses in those scenarios, and then Alabama would probably have to lose again. Because again, the committee didn't respect the Big 12 regardless. You know, Baylor was searching for respect, and it's not like Oklahoma got a huge jump for beating Baylor, and Baylor kind of sat right where they're at, and Oklahoma kind of sat right where they're at. So I just don't know that there's enough in front of them. But if you look at Oklahoma, I mean, aside from a bad game against Kansas State, it was a bad game. They've dominated their opponents. You know, Iowa State, they let back in the game and almost lost that one, which you got to pay attention to. And then Baylor, if you look at the last three games, Kevin, the loss to Kansas State, the almost loss to Iowa State, and then last week to not show up in the first half but come back. You know, could Oklahoma be a team that the last 3 weeks against, you know, Oklahoma State and then play Baylor again, and can you get back to being a dominant level of team? Can you destroy people? Because as much as you want to talk about Alabama, and I'm fine with people talking about Alabama, what they've accomplished, they destroyed everybody they played. They absolutely didn't leave any doubt. When you're leaving doubt against Kansas State and getting beat, and you're leaving doubt against Iowa State, and you're leaving doubt against Baylor, you know what I'm saying? Like, Utah, if you're not watching Utah, guys, Utah just beat a UCLA team that yeah, they sucked in the beginning of the season, but they kind of righted the ship, and Utah hit them in the face with a frying pan. I mean, just boat raced them. Absolutely made them look like stupid silly. Like, that's the kind of stuff that Oklahoma's going to be going against. They got to look prettier doing it. They got to be more dominant doing it.
Yo, you played a scenario out too that with Utah with two losses. That second loss would have to happen in the Pac-12 championship, because if they stumble in the next 2 weeks, USC could be representing the South in the Pac-12.
Unbelievable.
That would be a disaster. That would be a disaster for the conference, because Oregon then cannot say, hey, we've got a quality win at the end of the season, we should be bumped up, right? Because now it is interesting that, you know, USC is in the top 25 now.
That's interesting to me, period.
Bit,
do
right?
you
right,
agree with that?
I don't agree with that. I
don't agree with it either. I mean, that's only, I feel like that's only to help Oregon. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't see how USC, if you've watched them this year, how they're, you know, at 7-4 is a top 25 team. I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a justification. I'm sure there's a stat that we can go to and figure that out. But, you know, Oregon this week against, you know, Arizona State, another non-game. I mean, we're going to go through a whole year, and then we're going to see, I guess, Oregon at the end of the year, we're going to see what they're made of. Because, again, 2-point win Washington State. What was it, a 5-point win against, or a 4-point win against Washington. And they're okay. And I think they're a pretty good team, but it's not like they've dominated stellar competition by any stretch. When they've played the decent teams in the Pac-12, they've really struggled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10-point win against Cal, like you mentioned, 4-point win against Washington, 2-point win against Washington State. I mean, they steamrolled USC, which was a positive. But we'll see them on primetime against Herm's team tomorrow night on ABC. And
Herm's team's leaking oil, bro. Herm's team's not
catching up to them.
Let's not act like a 5-5 Arizona State team is a dominant team either. I mean, they're giving up like 600,000 points a game. I mean, it's been bad to watch that defense. It's not good. They're going to give up over 30. They've done that last three games and gave up 42 to UCLA a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, four straight losses to give up 35 points to Oregon State and lose it by 1 point. Oh, it's a brutal loss for Herm and the crew at 5-5. Especially when you start at 5-1 and you feel like you've turned the corner and Jaden Daniels has done everything, but he can't play defense. And that's the issue right now when you look at the Sun Devils, and that's going to be the issue tomorrow night. You see there's an issue with a defense, and let's talk about the unit of the week that you watched on tape. And it starts in the Big Ten, and this is not going to be good news if you're a Nittany Lions fan. What are you watching on tape when you see Penn State's defense right now?
So I bragged early in the year a lot on Penn State's defense, and rightfully so, because I think they're so good up front. But we talked about it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I think the last 2 weeks you've really seen it exposed against Minnesota and last week against Indiana, which both have pretty good passing attacks. They are really aggressive. They love to play physical. They love to play fast. They're a fast, physical group. I like that about them. Kevin, in their last two games, you want to be blown away with a stat? You want to be blown away with a stat you have not heard from a single person? Last two games, Minnesota game. Minnesota was 11 for 11 on play action against Penn State. 11 for 11. Their safeties come up quick all the time. They come up on RPOs quick all the time. They want to fill. They want to be physical. They want to be aggressive, and they get shredded with play action. Hey, Indiana, 6 for 6 in play action against Penn State. The last two games, 17 for 17 against play action against Penn State's defense. So now here comes Justin Fields, J.K. Dobbins. Obviously, it's a huge strength of this team to be able to run the football with Dobbins, to be able to run the football with Fields, and to be able to play action off of it. They've got to get this fixed. I don't know how, I don't know how they do it, because you can't change your stripes, Kevin. And they're not good enough to play man coverage all the time. It's just they're not. They're not good enough in the secondary. So I don't know what the plan is this week. They better score a lot of points. Cause they're going to give up a ton of points. I think that they need to find a way, like a couple years ago, to get a couple blocks in the special teams game, a couple big plays in the kicking game, because their defense and the way they play action pass is a big problem.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned scoring points. That they're struggling to score points if KJ Hamler is not healthy. And we're still trying to find out the availability of Hamler and Sean Clifford. It's such an unfortunate story that this young man, you know, has those three picks against Minnesota and then has to deal with death threats because there are so many idiots out there. And you got to go into that environment at the Shoe. That place will be rocking. And Ohio State's favored by 18 points in that game. And not only does Sean Clifford have to deal with that, but on the other side, you have Chase Young, who's rested for 2 weeks and he's ready to just annihilate a quarterback because the last time we saw him, he had 4 sacks against Wisconsin. So
yeah,
all the things.
So besides that, everything looks great. Hey, so we're both going to pick Ohio State. I'm fully aware of that in the picks in a little bit. Can you name a unit on Penn State, Ohio State where there's an advantage for Penn State?
No.
I would say maybe their defensive line versus Ohio State's offensive line. That might be the one I give to Penn State. But besides that, across the board, it's a pretty big gap between Ohio State's defensive line versus Penn State's offensive line. Oof, that's not pretty.
And here's the thing. You've been so high on that defensive front for Penn State. So
yeah,
for you to,
I think they're
to
great.
Give us that alarming stat on play action, how they are and what they've been giving up the last 2 weeks.
Well, they can't cover the pass, stunning. Kevin.
Exactly.
They can't cover the back end for them.
It shows you how good that defensive front has been to hide all the deficiencies on that second and third level. Right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, absolutely. In the previous games, they had done a good job of managing that because of pressure. They've done a good job of getting, and listen, if Yetur can win and if Shaka Toney can win, if those guys can get to the quarterback consistently and beat their tackles, then they have a chance. But when you don't play as good as a pass rusher on the road as you do at home. Home is a huge advantage with the crowd noise and the lack of communication. When you're in another person's stadium, you don't get that advantage of a silent count and knowing when the ball is coming a lot of times. So, whew, good luck, Penn State.
All right, and we set this whole thing up because you mentioned good luck Penn State, can they score? And now we're going to highlight the dude of the week, and he's part of Ohio State's defense, and he's not the NFL prospect who's going to be taken into the top 3 picks in Chase Young. It's another NFL prospect who's going to be probably taken in the top 10. Who's your guy? Who's your dude of the week?
I'm about to say, he might be taken in the top 5, homie G. I mean, I would not be surprised if Mr. Okuda, Jeffrey Okuda for Ohio State, is picked in the top 5. He's a long, tall corner with freaky athleticism, can play man coverage. I would love more than anything, Kevin, to watch him versus KJ Hamler. That would be awesome to say, that guy's really good, you go cover him. That would make my night. Ohio State, gonna have to be more aggressive. Clifford is a quarterback that can run, and so you're going to have to play man. You're going to have to play quarters. You're going to have to play physical. You're going to have to keep eyes in the right spots with the RPO game. And Ohio State's defense been one of the most improved defensive units in the country from last year to this year. And Okuda and Chase Young and these guys are the reason why. But Okuda can play anywhere on the field and can lock down wide receivers. Penn State isn't a team that has a lot of dynamic weapons outside of KJ Hamler. So Mr. Okuda will be taking care of business, and he's taking care of business all year long. And when the draft comes, you're right, down the road, he'll be a top 8 pick probably at the worst.
It's incredible. It's incredible how well Ohio State not only recruits players, but develops players. To have the idea of Chase Young there on the front, and then on the third level, you have Okuda. And again, those two guys are battling for all the awards at the end of the year. Okuda, a semifinalist for the Jim Thorpe Award for the top defensive back in the nation, and then the Chuck McNarick Award for the most outstanding player. And Okuda's going to be battling, of course, Chase Young. And I have a feeling you can just give Chase Young that award immediately.
I don't know. You know what? I agree with you. It should be like that, Kevin. But I think when you have a suspension, that people will hold that against him.
You think so?
100%.
Really?
Yeah, I think people will hold that against him when they vote. There's a lot of people that vote on these things that are old school, I'll put it, whatever you prefer. And I think
that would
it will
be
take,
terrible.
I think it'd be stupid, but I think people will take their pound of flesh, and people will look at things in the old school method, and it will happen.
Ugh, that would be terrible. All right, before we continue our picks, let's hear from our sponsors, Allstate, AT&T, and Goodyear.
Because mayhem on Saturdays in the fall is inevitable. Mayhem happens on the field, off the field, and in the polls. Mayhem lives on the wind, in the rain, on the foot of an errant kick, and during a trap game. You'll find mayhem in the parking lot, during tailgates, charcoal that's not totally out, an errant football through a window, a flat tire, a lost side view mirror, etc. You get the point. Allstate protects you from mayhem in the parking lot and outside it, at home and away. You can't stop mayhem from happening, but you can get better protected from it with Allstate. The potential for mayhem during the playoff race is rampant. Underdogs, trap games, unexpected weather, etc., etc., etc. Get better protected from mayhem with Allstate. Contact your local Allstate agent today.
Yeah, college football is great unless, of course, it's just okay. Like when students decide to paint their chest with different letters to spell some word, and then they stand together to get on TV, but they're spelling the word wrong, or they lined up in the wrong order. Sure, not everybody's an English major, and I get it. We can't all win the national spelling bee. But come on, people. You should know how to spell Wildcats or Bulldogs. The purpose isn't to have a word jumble in the student section to keep your mind sharp or something. Just okay is not okay, whether it's college football fans or your wireless network. You want to watch the best college football just like you want to go with AT&T, America's best network. Don't settle for typos on people's chests, and don't settle for anything less than the best wireless network. Get the best college football and get AT&T. Best network based on GWS One Score, September 2019.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
All right, listen, last week stunk. You want to know why it stunk? Because we went chalk and we were locked in and we made the same picks. I have a feeling that we're going to go down the same road here with our picks, Pollock, because some of these games are just, they're not good. They're not good, but we're going to do it. We're going to figure it out. All right.
Let's
start off with A&M versus Georgia. Who you got in this one?
I tell you what, I think A&M, I'm going Georgia, and I think you are too, but I think A&M has a chance to make this very competitive. I think they're physical enough on the defensive line. I think Kellen Mond's athletic ability, playing better the last several games, his athletic ability could give Georgia some problems. But Georgia's defense has just been so good, man, and so lights out. So it's hard to pick against Georgia's defense, but I think Georgia at home, that's a big deal too, rather than having to go to College Station. I think Georgia at home wins. And Jake Fromm, it's interesting, man. If you look at the last couple games, Kevin, it's been 100 and something yards passing. But you know what he continues to, you know what he hasn't done since the South Carolina game? Hasn't thrown one interception. And that's the difference. He takes care of the football and doesn't make a lot of mistakes and doesn't put his defense in a bad spot. So I don't think he'll put up stupid video game numbers, but he'll take care of the football and Georgia will win the game.
And isn't that a philosophy of Kirby's too, where it's just like, hey, play well. We're not asking you to do too much here. It feels like Jake, lead us, but we're going to also be very smart on how we're going to play offensively. We're not going to take a lot of risks. Is that what you're seeing from Kirby and his philosophy?
Yeah, and listen, I think it's something that works for them because their defense is so good, but I don't think you can beat LSU doing that. I mean, I think you're going to have to open it up more and take more chances, but you know, he's not a kid that has had to throw the ball a ton, but you know, he's also just hasn't been really, really efficient. But the one thing he's done, not only not throwing interceptions, when they put drives together, Kevin, he's done a good job of getting in the end zone. Last week, they didn't put a lot of drives together for Auburn, but they put the ball in the end zone. He made great plays in the red area to throw the football into a tight window or two and make plays and score. And That's the biggest thing is the numbers, like 110 yards against Auburn, but he had three touchdowns and no interceptions. Yep. You know, he had 170 yards against Missouri and two TDs, no interceptions, you know, so it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be overly sexy, but we also know that Jake Fromm's going to have to get a lot hotter down the stretch if he wants to beat LSU, and he's going to have to make more plays.
Be efficient, be smart. And then on the other side, A&M, they've won four straight, but, you look at the competition, they've beaten the teams they have to beat after playing teams like Clemson, Auburn, Alabama early on. And their final two games are Georgia and LSU. So
but how stupid is that, man?
It's ridiculous.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
There's no team in the country. Like Auburn is another team that if you looked at them and if they played an Oregon type schedule up until this point, there's a good chance Auburn would be undefeated. I mean, but the schedule they play is just absolutely crazy. It's unbelievable. But Kellen Mond against that Georgia defense is going to be fun to watch. I think he'll make plays. I think he'll score some points.
Well, you know, and what that does is that'll help that Georgia defense get ready for Joe Burrow the following week. I'm not saying Kellen Mond is Joe Burrow. I'm just saying
that's kind of what you said. Kellen Mond is Joe Burrow. That's what you're saying.
Georgia,
I like it. Beautiful.
After you play Ole Miss, Mississippi State, UTSA, and South Carolina, Georgia gets the opportunity. Well, you know, I'm talking about A&M. Georgia gets the opportunity now to see an offense to get them prepared. And when you look at Georgia's offense and what they've done, they're going to have to find a way where they can match LSU up. And they're coming off that Auburn game. They're coming off the Missouri game. They're coming off the Florida game. I think that they're going to be,
three tough games in a row for sure. I mean, that's a tough gauntlet. And what's coming down the road now? What did you just do? You just held up the SEC East sign and you know you're going to play LSU in the SEC championship game. You know, like you have all of that going against you and Kirby's word is respect. You know, he's always like respect the opponent. And if you don't respect A&M and if they don't play really well, they'll lose. And that's not a good thing because A&M 7-3, they haven't beaten much, but they've also, their only three losses have been against, I mean, they're the only team that played Clemson competitive too. Remember, it was a 14-point game. That was a good game. Yeah. So it wasn't a beatdown by any stretch.
But also that was a completely different Clemson team, right? I think you and I could agree on that. They have woken up, offensively, their last four games. Let's continue here. This is going to be an interesting game because you saw them live and we just talked about Texas earlier on the podcast, but Texas now, at Baylor, the line is 5.5 favoring the Bears. Who you got?
Yep. I'll take Baylor. First of all, and I gotta save some of this because we're gonna talk about this on game day and I got some really, really good stuff to talk about, with Texas, but so I'm trying not to just go off right now. Baylor's better. I mean, this is like Iowa State last week. When I watched Iowa State and I watched those two teams, I thought Iowa State was better. Now Iowa State finds a way to lose close games like nobody's business. I mean, they're really good at that.
Yeah.
But I think Baylor's a better team. Baylor's defense can stay consistent. Their offense again is going to be different, but maybe with Brewer and all the running ability, like you continue to use that and Mims hits a few big plays but I think Baylor has an opportunity. If this was a different situation, if this wasn't Texas coming in off of a big letdown, I think this could be a bad spot for Baylor, but it's Texas coming in. They don't like Texas. You know, all these kids wanted to go to Texas. They grew up playing high school football and didn't recruit Brewer, i.e. Brewer, whose family played at Texas and he wasn't invited to the party, you know, Charlie Brewer. So I think Baylor will be ready. I think Baylor's offense will play a little bit more consistent, especially against the Texas defense that's struggling. And I think Baylor will win the game.
You know, and also, you know, the idea that Baylor's big dreams are still playing in the Big 12 championship game. So they've got a lot at stake here. I got to tell you, I was leaning Texas and you've convinced me to go with Baylor.
Oh, no, go Texas. We need difference.
I think I'm going Baylor just because also you're holding back some information about Texas that you're going to put on the game day broadcast and you're not going to put it here on the podcast.
You're going to love it.
So I'm going to love it.
You're going to love it.
I'm going to go with Baylor as well. And that's the Matt Rhule factor for me. So I'm going with Baylor and you've convinced me as well.
Dang it.
I think we're going to be really boring here. Let's go to the uniform game. UCLA, USC. Is this a USC slam dunk or is Chip going to surprise us?
I like the uniform game. I like that. You know, listen, I, I think as much as UCLA built back some credence with a big win over Colorado and Arizona State and Stanford and looked good, that they'd lose to Oregon State before that, I think. But last week was a come down to earth party, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was really, really bad. 49-3 against Utah, and Utah just absolutely destroyed them and dismantled them. I'll take USC. I think Slovis is going to be, by the way, Slovis, I think, is going to be a top quarterback in college football. I think he's really accurate. He's a loose cannon. If you watch him, he's absolutely a loose cannon. He doesn't take care of the football, and he drives me nuts with that aspect, and he needs to understand situational football a lot better. But when you talk about a guy that knows how to attack defenses and go after them and score and win and put the ball accurately, I think he's really, really good. Quarterback play, to me, the difference for USC, and USC won.
Is the reason why Slovis is like that now because he's just a true freshman? I mean, he's just inexperienced and the belief that I could do all things right now? Does that play a role, the lack of experience?
Well, maybe, but yeah, he could easily have been like that his whole life, you know, and trusted himself to make plays. And I don't know, even when you're inexperienced, I have to understand the gravitude of moments. And against Oregon, when I'm in the red zone and I'm running the football and I'm stretching it out, trying to go to the end zone when it's first down, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. Trying to fit the ball in tight windows when I need to understand the gravitude of the moment. I got to get points. I can't create turnovers in certain areas. But if you're talking about just spinning the ball to somebody accurately, he's really good at that. It's just, in those sticky moments, a lot of times he's trying to do too much and trying to scramble around and do too much, and he costs his team. So I think you can learn from that and be more comfortable in those situations, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of those guys his whole career that's got a little gunslinger in him, you know?
I'm with you. I'll go with USC. And our next game, we'll go to the American. Navy, I don't know what happened in South Bend, because I was expecting a much better game, a tighter game, and Notre Dame just said, we're going to do whatever we want.
So you weren't expecting 38-3 in like the second quarter or something like that?
Stunned.
I think everybody was crazy.
That was nuts. And now taking on SMU, and Navy's favored in this game, and I'll be the first to make the pick. They're favored by 3.5. I'm going with SMU on the road.
Really?
Yeah.
Disagree strongly. This is good. We have our first disagreement. I feel very confident in Navy. I feel very confident in Navy because last year they shredded SMU. And if you've watched SMU the past couple weeks, they've given up over 50 the last two games. They gave up over 50 to ECU. Okay. ECU's not, Lincoln Riley's not there anymore, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Not a good defense. I don't trust them enough. What do they do well? They attack the quarterback, and one of the best at getting the quarterbacks in sacks. Have you seen Navy drop back to pass very often? They don't do that. That's not what Navy does. No. And Navy's defense is one of the most improved units in all of college football. Now, don't look at last week. That wasn't a good indicator of it, but, cause they got shredded by Notre Dame. But I think Navy wins this game. I wouldn't be surprised if Navy wins this game by more than 7 points.
Navy had trouble though. They had trouble with the pass and Ian Book and Claypool. And when you see what Notre Dame did, that's why I feel really good about SMU's passing attack.
I get you. I understand. And Bouchel's going to drop bombs and make big plays, but he's also not going to have the football very often. So don't miss.
Okay. We'll see. All right. I'm glad we got some disagreement in this because we're,
well, we had a disagreement, but you changed because my point was so articulately made, but that's okay.
No.
Yes, you did. You changed it. You said you changed it. Temple, Cincinnati. Temple, Cincinnati. Let's see how much you love the Owls. Go ahead, bro.
Bro. I love the Owls. They struggle on the road, and I don't know if I can make this. I can't make this pick on the Owls because they're a completely different team on the road. So I fear what's going to happen in Cincinnati.
So you're not picking the Owls. To be clear, you're not picking the Owls.
No, I'll ride with my Owls. I'll ride with my Owls because that's who I am. That's how I'm, you know.
That was so convincing. I mean, they struggle on the road. They're not going to win. But I'll ride with them. Did you see UC versus USF last week, by the way?
Yeah, I did. Cincinnati, that was
a struggle bus, man. That was an absolute struggle bus.
It's really hard to figure out where Cincinnati, you know, honestly, like I really like Cincinnati a lot. And if you look at their record and what they've done all season and stuff, they're going to be in the American title game. It's going to be, I think, a great matchup potentially against Memphis. And they could play Memphis back to back weeks, which is a fascinating thing to me. But I like Cincinnati a lot. I like Luke Fickell a lot, but I'm going with Temple.
Okay. You ride with your Owls.
Clearly you disagree.
Well, yes, that's why I brought it up. At least we'd have some disagreement, but I'll take Michael Warren and let them pound away. I mean, I still don't think UC's by any stretch a balanced team. I mean, Ritter is, he's a good player, but he's not, you know, they're not a great passing attack. And it's hard to muscle Temple. Those are a bunch of tough cats, man. They're always tough and physical and they make you earn it, but I also don't know that you truly trust Russo. You know, I don't think he's.
No, you can't.
He's kind of struggled too as well. So I'll take UC, their physical brand of football and, creating a few turnovers and winning the football game in Nippert Stadium. Beautiful, beautiful Nippert Stadium.
I love Russo's arm. I think Russo loves his arm more than I love his arm. And sometimes that you can throw that ball and force it in certain windows that are not there or that are closing fast. And, he's just got to be more consistent and smart, when throwing the ball. All right, let's go outside of the American and Michigan-Indiana. And I bring this game up because obviously Michigan's a completely different team that we've seen the last 3 weeks. Indiana showed me a lot at Penn State. On the road, you make two mistakes. The one on special teams with that fake punt just cost them so much.
The worst ever.
Momentum and everything, right? Yeah. I like what we've seen from Indiana. I still am picking Michigan, but I'm bringing that up to you.
So you think it's going to be close then?
I think it may be a 7 to 10 point game. I don't know if that's close.
Okay. This game's at Indiana.
Yep.
Important to know they're very good at home.
Yep.
But Indiana's gotten hot and they've played really well. But here's the hard thing to judge about Indiana for me. They beat Rutgers. They beat Maryland. They beat Nebraska. They beat Northwestern. I don't know very many teams in the country that couldn't beat those teams. I mean, seriously, that's not a tough gauntlet. By the way, in the Maryland game, they gave up 28 points to a Maryland team that was really, really sputtering. I think Michigan, with their identity and what they found, I think Michigan is going to smash that. Now, here's the only reason I think this could possibly be a game that might not be a smashing is because of the Ohio State game coming up. Like, that's the only thing I can think of, but I don't see any other way how this game is close. I think Michigan knows who they are. By the way, Michigan really good at rushing the passer. Michigan really good at coverage. Indiana wants to throw the ball. That's who they are. That's what they are. Maybe you catch them looking ahead to Ohio State, but I don't think this one would be close. I'd be surprised if this one's close.
Yeah, line's 9.5. I know I wavered saying between 7 to 10. So
that's a shocker.
Exactly.
That's a big shocker.
So the more I think about it, I'm going to go Michigan covers because I think they'll win by 10. Yeah, clearly you think Michigan is going to be winning by like a couple touchdowns.
I just think they're way better.
This whole thing up.
They're way better. I mean, way better at what they are and who they are. And they've beaten way better teams and played more competitively. Indiana played very competitive against Penn State, no doubt. But we also talked about KJ Hamler getting hurt and kind of freaking the offense out and kind of messing him up a little bit. But I think Michigan's a lot better.
Okay. Let's go back to the Big 12. Kansas State, Texas Tech.
Who you got?
I'm going Kansas State on the road.
You got Ema, huh? Are you going to give any reasons why? I can't believe in Texas Tech. You really sold me, bro. I mean, good Lord have mercy.
I like Jet Duffy. I like him, but I like Kansas State. I like the way they play. I like Skylar Thompson. I like the physicality that Kansas State can bring in a game like this.
Who's favored in this game, by the way?
Texas Tech by 2.5 points.
Texas Tech is favored in this game. Texas Tech, by the way, in November has been atrocious. I think they're like 7-27, I want to say, in November over the last several years. Like just – has been really, really, really bad in November. Closing seasons, you know, the weather changes a lot of times and you gotta be more physical and run the football. And that really hasn't been, you know, one of their strengths. But I just, you know what? I'll go Texas Tech. I think Kansas State's lost a little of their luster this season too.
They have the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. They haven't looked great. Texas Tech wants to go to a bowl game. Texas Tech, Jet Duffy. Last week, by the way, against TCU, if you watched the game, they couldn't have started any worse. I mean, just absolutely atrocious. And then once they got going, everything turned out to be okay. And they made it a competitive ball game, except for a couple turnovers late when they were trying to get the ball back. But I'll take Duffy and Texas Tech. I'll take quarterback play.
All right. I'm going on the other side with the quarterback play because I like Skylar Thompson a lot. And we'll see how that plays out. Vegas siding with you on that side. And, you know, our last game, we briefly talked about it, Penn State, Ohio State. My question to you, we're both picking the Buckeyes. My question to you is the line is 18. Do you think Ohio State covers in a game like this?
18, you said?
Yeah.
And they've won every game by at least 24 this season. I tell you what, man, last three meetings ago, Penn State beat them. Remember? Two block kicks, took them back to the house. It was an unbelievable game. Found a way to make it happen. How about the two meetings since that point, by the way? Penn State's had leads in the fourth quarter and lost games. So Penn State knows whatever the reason, Penn State plays Ohio State really well, and they have the last several years. I don't see it this year. And maybe we're missing some element of it, and maybe the defensive line can impose their will and destroy Ohio State's offensive line. I don't see it. So no, I don't know what we're overlooking. I think Ohio State's really, really, really good in all facets and much better. And so I think this will be a good game for a little while, but wouldn't it be fun to see Ohio State actually tested? Cause they've won every game by at least 24. I would love to see them in some hot moments. We saw them against Wisconsin a little bit when it got, what did it get, 10-7 in the second half, something similar to that. But I don't think it's going to be super competitive, but 18's a lot of points, though. I mean, that's a lot of points.
But
good Lord.
So do they cover or not? Because you've given us no answer.
A lot of syrup with my waffle there, huh? No, they don't cover.
I go the opposite. So that'll
17
be the difference.
Point win.
No, I think they win by more than 18 points.
Okay.
The stat that really stands out to me when you talk about Ohio State, they've only given up 21 points twice this season. Last week was against Rutgers, and I don't think we could even do that because the way they were winning 42-0 before they came up for air, it was a dominating performance. So whatever happens in the second half, who cares? And then FAU at the opener, they gave up 21 points. Since then, 0, 10, 5, 7, 10, 3, 7, 14, 21. Like, that's how good this defense is. I think that they roll in a game like this and they win by more than 18 points. So that'll be the difference between me and you in that game.
Their offense has really struggled, though. So yeah, their offense has struggled. So, but I mean, you also look at, you know, it hasn't been the most high caliber of offenses they've played either. So it'll be interesting. I think Clifford has improved with his pocket presence. And KJ Hamler is a guy that can make big plays. You know, obviously you got big boy over the middle. How do you say, 87's name? Freeburg?
It's Pat Freiermuth. Exactly how you said it, David. Freiermuth. You know, you want to know why I haven't said his name often? Because Sanchez on our ABC show loves him. So Sanchez, we set it up every time when we have Clifford throw the ball to Freiermuth and Sanchez jumps in because he wants to say the tight end's name. He loves that kid. I mean, what's not to love about the size? 6'5", 255, and he calls him Baby Gronk.
Yeah, and he can run.
He's got a great.
He might be a. There's a good chance he'll be a first round pick. I mean, he's that kind of good. I mean, that's what kind of weapon. And then you got KJ Hamler, obviously too. So, can those guys make some plays? And I will be interested to watch the Buckeyes against RPOs and watch them against some of the stuff that we've seen them struggle with in the past. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, we're going to end it that way.
All right. Well, you go suck down some honey and whatever else you got going on there. I'm sure you got some kind of concoction for your voice because your voice is your money.
Yeah, it is. And, no one wants to hear Barry White talk about a pod of college football. So I'm going to have some tea. You enjoy the, shenanigans in Columbus and, we'll catch up. Next week we're going to have two pods and, one with, Herbie, one with Pollock as we get ready for the holidays. Appreciate it, buddy. Be good.
Thanks, dude. See you. Get better.
Appreciate Pollock for joining us here and, for our listeners hanging in there. I apologize once again for, my voice as I battle through, this little cold. And I also want to thank our sponsors, Allstate, AT&T, and Goodyear. Great work from our producer, Taylor Schwenk, on the other side. If you enjoyed this podcast, you want more, all you have to do is subscribe to the College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. And, of course, remember, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. By the way, as we talk about this throughout our podcast, if you have a question, you want to hear it on the podcast for Herbie or Pollock, tweet using the hashtag CFBPod. The best ones will make the podcast. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.